All right. So that is all the goings on around the world, with the exception of Asia. And Asia is going right back into World Cup qualifying. We had the first two match days in November. We took a break and had the Asian Cup. We're back for match day 3 and 4 in March, and we will conclude with match day 5 and 6 in June. I feel like I know a lot more about Asia now. Coming out of the Asian Cup.
Me too.
it's amazing what happens when you can actually watch games, as opposed to trying to find streams. And of course, you know, now we're back to World Cup qualifying. I'm sure it's going to be impossible to find these games to watch. It's always an adventure trying to track down these streams, but I do at least feel like coming out of the Asian Cup, I've seen a lot more of these teams and have a much better sense of their quality. Do you feel the same, I assume?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I feel much more qualified to kind of discuss some of these teams and hopefully help everybody else learn more about them, too.
Agreed. So we've got 9 groups. Is that right? We've got 9 groups, in Asia, 9 groups of 4, the top 2 from each group. So 18 teams will qualify to the next round. We'll try to get through each group, talk about what's going on. Start with group A, take a look at the standings. Qatar is on top with 6 points, Kuwait and India with 3 points, Afghanistan on 0. Qatar obviously won the Asian Cup as hosts. They're fully in control of this group. I don't want to spend too much time on Qatar, I don't think, unless you've got any notes about them.
I do not.
Okay. I think the big battle is going to be between Kuwait and India. And not all that optimistic about either team coming out of the Asian Cup, I would say. You know, India, I was disappointed in, but yeah. I think they're in okay shape here. And I think, you know, with where they're at and what they've got remaining on their schedule, they've already defeated Kuwait in qualifying. So I tend to lean a little bit towards India, but I'm not super encouraged by either team right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think India definitely is capable of getting at least 4 points against Afghanistan, possibly 6. Like, the Afghanistan squad is not very strong. It's the Federation is in shambles right now. They're basically doing everything they can to not qualify.
Yeah. It's gonna work.
You know, they brought in this new coach for Afghanistan, and then everybody was thinking Ashley Westwood would, you know, face up to Carger, and it's not really turning out to be that way, so it seems. And he's in a tough situation, you know, that's his employer, you know, whatever. But yeah, I would expect India to get points in this window, and if they don't manage to do that, I think that's a huge missed opportunity, because I don't think that Kuwait is gonna pinch a lot off of Qatar.
Yeah, and I should mention also, I forgot heading into this, but this window is your home and away fixtures, so
they play each other twice
at home and away this window. So through 2 match days, they're, you know, whatever pairing has not yet occurred, they're playing twice. So India getting 2 against Afghanistan while Kuwait has 2 against Qatar, not ideal for Kuwait. I still have it relatively close, though. About 53% for India, and about 44% for Kuwait. A little bit of a chance for Afghanistan, but slightly leaning towards India. But I agree. I think this window is going to be big. India needs to take points from Afghanistan. Kuwait's, you know, getting anything against Qatar, I think, is encouraging for them.
Yeah, because it is conceivable that you could end this window and Qatar sitting on 12 points with India on 9.
Yeah.
And that would leave Kuwait on 3 and Afghanistan with nothing still.
Yeah.
That would make it tough, I think, for Kuwait.
Yeah. It's still doable, but India would just need a point at that point. So
correct.
I think that's entirely conceivable. India cannot afford to drop points against Afghanistan, though.
Which goes back to the game that India played against Kuwait and how big of a result that could end up being.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
All right. So that is Group A. Group B, Japan is on 6 points. Korea DPR, North Korea is on 3 points. Syria on 3 points and Myanmar on 0. You'd look at these standings and see that Korea DPR is in second place with a +4 goal differential. You would see that Syria lost 5-0 in their last match to Japan. You'd look at the Asian Cup and perhaps think that, you know, Syria has not shown a whole lot. But then I think you look at the squad that Syria is bringing, and there's some changes.
Oh my gosh, this is one of the big bombs of this window, and it's so exciting. So some of you, most of you maybe, might be familiar with a player by the name of Mahmoud Dahoud. He currently is owned by Brighton, but he's on loan in Germany at Stuttgart. He's played for Borussia Dortmund in the past. I believe he's also played for Borussia Mönchengladbach. Very experienced player. He's a good player. He didn't start over the weekend for Stuttgart. He came off the bench, but he has decided that he is going to represent Syria, and that is a huge grab for them. He will instantly elevate that squad. To complement him, Syria is also bringing in Dalejo Erendust. Now, I'm familiar with this player because he's spent a lot of his playing time in Sweden. He's actually been called up by Sweden, I think, once before, but hasn't been called back in since. He was playing for BK Häcken a couple of years ago. He left. He went to the Netherlands, Groningen, I believe, and now he's back in Sweden. Bromo Poikina just bought him for this upcoming season, so he's back in Sweden. And he's decided that he's going to represent Syria as well. So two really big grabs there. And then you add the fact that Syria are also bringing in Noah Shamoon from Randers in Denmark, and then Elias Hedaya, a goalkeeper at Utsikens, also in Sweden. I mean, those are just four incredibly solid additions to the Syria team who, you know, they were all right at the Asian Cup. I don't think they were overly impressive, but I didn't feel like they had a bad Asian Cup either.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think they're a solid team. I agree. I don't think they had a bad Asian Cup, but I think these additions are really going to make them much more competitive. I think had they had these players for the Asian Cup, I think we may have been talking about them a little bit more. But yeah, for me, I think Syria has been, you know, looking for some scoring. Omaral Soma is not what he used to be. And I think they've really struggled in his absence. So, I think bringing in these players is really going to make them a much, much stronger team. And, Yeah, I think they're going to have a really successful window. They're playing Myanmar twice. I fully expect them to get 6 points from those two matches.
Yeah. Yep, this is definitely a boost to the attack for sure. Right, so with Dahoud, not so much. He's kind of a holding midfielder, but Erendust and Shamoon for sure are both attacking threats that will definitely add a new dimension to their attack going forward. So yeah, it's going to be really fun, and I would expect against Myanmar for them to come away with 6 points.
And then on the other side of it, North Korea, I think is still flying a little bit under the radar. And yes, they lost at Syria. They destroyed Myanmar when they played them. And I think this window with Japan is going to be difficult. I think anything that they get from this window, I think is a huge bonus.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect. I think I'd have to say Japan's going to take 6 points, but I'm curious to see how competitive, more than anything, North Korea is in this window. If they really don't show anything, I think Syria is the favorite. But at the same time, I think ultimately it's going to come down to Syria against North Korea in June to determine who advances. I think North Korea is in it, but it just feels like Syria is ultimately going to come out on top in the end.
Yeah, I agree. I'm right there with you. I'm not sure what to make of North Korea quite yet. For Japan, Mitoma is not there. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because he's kind of a key player for them. You know, they play a lot differently when he's not there. So yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing to see, but I would expect Japan to come out with probably 6 points from these two matches.
Yeah. I would as well.
So yeah.
All right. So let's head down to Group C. And I think we've got another team that also is looking really strong in South Korea, Korea Republic. They're on 6 points. They have not conceded a goal through two matches. We've got Thailand on 3 points, China on 3 points, and Singapore on 0 points. Thailand and China both coming out of the Asian Cup. I'm not encouraged by either of those teams. They, I think, significantly underperformed. And I really feel like it's a toss-up between those two at this point. I don't know that I've seen anything from either of them that gives me a, hey, these teams are going to be really strong. Do you think that's a fair assessment, or am I being overly harsh?
You're talking about Thailand and China?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's pretty fair, to be honest. Like, China had a horrific Asian Cup. I don't think they're in a good spot. They've got, so it was the coach carousel after the Asian Cup concluded, and China is one of the countries that has, you know, a brand new coach, Branko Ivankovic. That's right. Yeah. So can he, you know, what is he going to be able to do? I don't know. Yeah, it's a tough one. Who's gonna kind of come out on this is a good question. South Korea, Thailand. Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to like South Korea on that, right? Which maybe puts Thailand at a little bit of a disadvantage for the time being.
And then Thailand's already won at Singapore. They did lose at home to China, which is unfortunate.
They should not have lost that game, though.
They should not. I think China, if China can get 6 points from Singapore, I think they'll ultimately be okay. We'll see. But they are behind on goal differential, so that could obviously all change with Thailand playing Korea twice. So I think that it's going to be a toss up again. It seems like a lot of these groups, that second, third place is more of a toss up. I tend to favor China a little bit, but I don't feel super strongly about that.
Yeah. See, and I'm kind of the opposite. I want to be the opposite. I like Thailand. I would like to see Thailand get out of this group, right? There's a couple of reasons behind that. I don't feel like China's offering a whole lot right now. It's really going to come down to how Thailand performs in the final two matches in June against, again, China and Singapore, right? So if they can beat China in China and then beat Singapore, that's going to be, I think, a real sign of, you know, obviously, because then the group would be done, right? So I would expect South Korea to kind of go undefeated in this group.
I agree.
I'm not expecting Thailand to really do a whole lot this window against South Korea. If they can nick a point in any of those matches, that could be huge.
Agreed.
But I don't know. I'm not mm-hmm. necessarily expecting it. So
yeah. Let's head down to Group D, because I think Group D is far more fascinating.
With all right, let's do it.
All due respect to the China-Thailand battle, but Malaysia currently tops the group on 6 points.
Incredible.
Oman in amazing. Oman in second on 3. Kyrgyzstan on 3 in third, and then Chinese Taipei on 0 at the bottom of the group. I know you were a little disappointed with Malaysia's performance at the Asian Cup.
Yes.
They currently have a lead over Oman and Kyrgyzstan, and I was disappointed with Oman's performance at the Asian Cup.
Yeah.
This group feels like it's wide open between the top three.
It does. I absolutely agree with that. I think, these are going to be two really good matches between Malaysia and Oman, and that kind of opens the door for Kyrgyzstan to sneak in there. You know, if they can beat Taiwan twice, that gives them a ridiculous puts them in a ridiculous place. So yeah, Malaysia Oman is going to be, for me, one of the ties of this round.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that one. Oman's already lost to Kyrgyzstan as well. And I think if Kyrgyzstan can win twice and get to 9 points, I think they're in great shape.
Yep, I would agree.
The Malaysia-Oman, I think those two matches for me are going to be among the most important this window. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very competitive between two teams that are truly competing for a spot to advance. Yeah. So that's definitely one to keep an eye on. How are you feeling about Malaysia? Because I know you were high on them, and I think we saw that they have potential. I'm not sure they're there yet.
Yeah. It's a really good question. I was really disappointed with their Asian Cup. They've brought in quite a few players for this window. So clearly, I think they see that there's a need for change. Because what they tried to do at the Asian Cup, I'm not sure if it really came off like they were hoping. Maybe these players fit the coach's style a little more. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6 new players for Malaysia in this window. Again, that's a significant chunk. How many of them are actually going to see playing time? I don't know. But with 6 of them, the odds are probably decent, that at least one of them would see some sort of action. They've really got to find a way to, get points if they're going to keep the pressure on Oman. Right. And so, Even 2 draws, I think, would be enough for Malaysia at this point. I don't know. I would not play for 2 draws. Maybe in the away leg, but that's kind of where I'm at with Malaysia. I'd really like to see them continue on this great performance that we saw in qualifying that just was really absent in the Asian Cup.
Yeah, I agree. I do feel like Kyrgyzstan has a good opportunity, and for Oman and Malaysia both, I think they're two teams that just underperformed. And seeing how they react and respond coming out of that Asian Cup, definitely for me, I'm optimistic we'll see more. I just don't know which way it's going to swing. All right. So that is Group D. Group E is, I would say, a little more settled, despite only two matches being played. Iran and Uzbekistan are both on 4 points. Turkmenistan and Hong Kong are each on 1 point. Iran and Uzbekistan have already played each other and drawn 2-2 in Tashkent. This window, Iran plays Turkmenistan twice. Uzbekistan plays Hong Kong twice. I would not be all that surprised to see Iran and Uzbekistan on 10 points coming out of this window and already having clinched a spot in the next round.
Yeah.
I think what we saw from Hong Kong, I think it's against Iran and Uzbekistan. They're playing against teams that I believe are just playing better and stronger than Hong Kong. Yeah. Turkmenistan was not at the Asian Cup, but also for me, just not seeing a whole lot from them at this point, I don't really see any reason why it would not be Iran and Uzbekistan as the top two out of this group.
Yep, I'm right there with you. Interesting to note that for Iran, there was a lot of disappointment that they got bounced out at the stage that they did, right? And so the coach has basically said, look, like, I'm going to promise you I'm going to bring in some new faces. And that's exactly what he's done. So this is definitely kind of a new look Iran side for this window in a lot of different ways. There's five different players that have been called up for the first time. These are all players that are playing, you know, in the Middle East. So it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, how those players integrate into the Iran squad. But really, I can't see like Turkmenistan or Hong Kong doing anything in this group. I think it's basically almost already over. So
I agree. The numbers back that up. I've got Iran as 100% to qualify and Uzbekistan as 99.8% to qualify. Wow. So the simulations do not favor Hong Kong or Turkmenistan really at all.
Yeah. This is going to be the upset of the round, isn't it? Hong Kong is going to like pull one on Uzbekistan because Uzbekistan's going to pull a classic. They're going to pull a classic. Like, you're going to absolutely lay an egg.
It would be like Uzbekistan to ultimately finish second, but make it interesting.
Yeah. Yes, it would.
All right. Group F is a very interesting group. Iraq is looking very strong. 6 points through two matches. They, I think, are the best team in this group, and I don't think it's even close at this point. Behind them, Vietnam is on 3 points, the Philippines on one, and Indonesia on one. Indonesia had a nice Asian Cup, mm-hmm. and Vietnam had a decent enough Asian Cup. I still think Iraq is going to be far and away first in this group. But I think it gets really interesting among all three teams after Iraq. Who do you like out of Vietnam, the Philippines, and Indonesia?
Good question. Man, there's a lot to dissect in this group. Okay, so I'm going to actually start with the Philippines. So they brought in Tom St. Fiette. I don't know if many of you are familiar with that name. He coached the Gambia in the past, couple other nations that I can't remember right now. He knows what he's doing. I think this is a superb hire for the Philippines, and I think it's already paying dividends. They, so I think one of the tasks that he's been given is to get dual nationals into the Philippines national team to make it stronger. And we're already seeing the fruits of that. And he's only had the job for like 3 weeks. So the Philippines have brought in the Baldissimo brothers. One of them plays at York United in the Canadian Premier League. The other one plays for San Jose in MLS. They've brought in Timo Zuka at Cebu, a couple other names. But the list of players that they're potentially pursuing, including players who have maybe played for them in the past but have kind of fallen by the wayside, not because of the FA, but because the player has not really wanted to go participate. There's a couple of those in Germany. I think there's maybe one in Norway. There's more than that, but those are the ones that I'm aware of. He's actively having conversations with them. Like, he was in Europe recently having conversations with these players. So Sebastian Rasmussen is one of them. He's playing in Denmark. His club is Hobro. He's not getting a ton of playing time, but he's kind of been like wishy-washy up to this point in time. And I've talked about him in a past episode because he's like the Filipino Holland. Do you remember that? And so he was not in the initial squad list when it was released by the federation for this window, but it has since come to light that he has decided that he's going to fly in for these qualifiers. So he's going to be there, and that is huge. He's a big presence up front, like capable of scoring goals, capable of holding up the ball. Like, he's a player that the Philippines can develop a team around. Yeah, I think it might be too little too late in terms of for the World Cup. I don't know, because on the flip side of that, you've got Indonesia, right? And they are not playing each other this window. Philippines is playing Iraq twice, which is crappy for them. Indonesia is playing Vietnam. But Indonesia has also done a lot of similar things. And we've talked about this in a couple past episodes too. And forgive me for going on about going a little long here in this group. But I mean, Indonesia has brought in Jay Idzis from Venezia, Nathan Tejoan from Heerenveen, Tom Hay from Heerenveen, and Ragnar Oratmangoen from Fortuna Sittard. So those are four players who are playing in Europe on a regular basis that are absolutely going to elevate this Indonesia team. And then going off of the back of their performances in the Asian Cup, like, again, I'm liking where Indonesia's at right now. And if they can get points off of Vietnam, who in my opinion did not have a good Asian Cup and did not look very good, I think Indonesia can do this. I think they can get at least four points off of Vietnam in this window.
I agree. I think especially just looking back at Group D, that Indonesia Vietnam head to head this window, I think very likely will determine who finishes second in this group.
Yeah.
I think the Philippines' role and bringing in new players, I think it's a very hard sell because the Philippines has already lost at home to Vietnam and they've drawn at home to Indonesia. So not only do they have to play Iraq twice, they also have to play two more matches away from home. I think that's a very tough sell when you're playing from behind and knowing that's what's ahead of you. And coming out of the Asian Cup, really, if you're not qualifying or at least getting out of the round, this round, your next opportunity is Asian Cup 2027, and those matches aren't going to be for, you know, another year, a year and a half, 2 years, something like that. So I think it's a really tough sell, and credit to Tom St. Fiat for doing what he's done thus far, because I think it's a very, very challenging position to be in when you're this far down the path and things are bleak and you don't have other tournaments for quite some time. So I think it's going to be challenging for the Philippines. I agree with you. I like what Indonesia's done. I think they had a strong Asian Cup. They're bringing in more players. I think they're in a good position to be able to actually advance out of this round. Vietnam is a bit of a leg up because they did get that win in the Philippines, where Indonesia only drew, but they're playing each other. And if you beat another team head to head, the rest doesn't matter. So
that's right.
I'm very, very curious to see what happens with that Indonesia Vietnam pairing.
Yeah, I think the other thing too at play here as well is there is still significance in these games, obviously. But I mean, nothing has been decided yet. But, you know, if you finish top two in the group, not only do you go into the next World Cup qualifying round, but you then are automatically qualified for the next Asian Cup.
Yes.
So if you're big. Third through fourth, you hit the third round of Asian Cup qualifying.
It's big. And for a team that was at the Asian Cup to qualify in advance, get back to the Asian Cup, I think it's just going to continue to help them build for the future as well.
Yep. One group that I will be keeping a close eye on.
Absolutely. It's always good because you have these home and aways, and in many groups, largely they're not going to directly determine who advances. I think you have very few groups where you're looking at a second versus third type pairing, and this is one of them. So definitely one to keep an eye on. All right.
Group G.
It's the fun group. So in Group G, you have Saudi Arabia on 6 points. You have Tajikistan on 4 points, who in their first Asian Cup reached the last eight. You have Jordan in third on 1 point, who you may recognize them from the Asian Cup final, where they ultimately succumbed to Qatar, but made it all the way to the final. And then you have Pakistan with a -9 goal differential on 0 points in fourth. So Saudi Arabia, I think, is looking good. However, they have two matches against Tajikistan, which are not going to be easy. And I am now much more interested in the Tajikistan team coming out of the Asian Cup. I am sad that they have a different coach, but the players are still there. So hopefully we can find a way to watch a match from Dushanbe. That would be thrilling. Mm-hmm. Jordan is in an interesting spot because they did reach the final, but they only have 1 point from two matches. They do get a double against Pakistan, and I think they're going to really put Pakistan under the gun there. So I do expect that Jordan's going to be able to rebound pretty quickly, but they're behind and they're chasing Saudi Arabia and they're chasing Tajikistan. How do you think this group is going to shake out? Because I feel like Saudi Arabia is in a good spot, but maybe not. And maybe it's Tajikistan and Jordan. I feel like it's wide open.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Saudi Arabia is in a good spot. Yeah. I'm not too concerned about them. If Tajikistan gets some results, then it's a different conversation. It's going to be interesting to see how Tajikistan comes out under a new coach. You know, will that same energy exist?
They've shown that they can play. Yep. Clearly. And you look at some of these other groups and you look at a Japan, a South Korea, Iran, and it's like, okay, they should get those 6 points. You know, they're playing some other teams that are upstart and have played better, but you feel like they should still get the 6 points. I don't necessarily feel that way about Saudi Arabia with Tajikistan. I think Saudi Arabia might get 4 points, but I'm not expecting Saudi Arabia to necessarily win in Tajikistan.
Well, that's great news. I love that. I'm all for that. Yeah, no, under Peter Seghert, there was definitely energy in the team, right? And he's gone. And I just wonder if that same energy is going to exist. You know, I think they made it clear that they can play. But I think that energy piece is is going to be a factor for me. Yeah. And I'm curious to see what they look like, not just how they play, but their body language and how they're, you know, encouraging each other and whatnot. So yeah, I'm curious to see how that pans out. For Jordan, I would expect them to get 6 points off of Pakistan. And yeah, so, yeah, that's going to make this group pretty tight.
This is a fun one. And just coming out of the Asian Cup and seeing the success that these teams had, it's crazy that one of these teams is going to be out of World Cup qualifying, not even into the final 18.
Yep.
You've got Jordan and Tajikistan. One was in the final 8. One was in the final. And
so crazy.
It's very possible and probably likely that one of those two is not in the final 18 for World Cup qualifying, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. It is.
All right, let's slide down to Group H. The UAE is on 6 points. Bahrain is on 3. Yemen is on 3. Nepal, 0. They have 0 goals and conceded 6. As it stands, it looks like, you know, you look at Bahrain, you look at Yemen, each has 3 points. Each has scored 2 and conceded 2. I think Bahrain's going to run away with it, despite them being level as it stands. I like what I saw from Bahrain at the Asian Cup. We talked about them a bit. I was a bit down on them. I'm back. I'm back on Bahrain. I think they're the team that I thought they were initially. Yemen, I just don't feel like offers a whole lot. That being said, they've done okay thus far. You know, they got a 2-0 win at Nepal, but they did lose at, you know, at home, quote unquote. Like for Yemen, they're coming up on these matches. They have 2 against the UAE, while Bahrain gets 2 against Nepal. I really feel like Bahrain's going to start to distance themselves from the pack. Do you think I'm being overly optimistic on Bahrain, or do you think Yemen might make it closer?
No, I don't think you're being overly optimistic. I agree with you. I can't see it really changing from the way that it looks right now, honestly, with, I mean, at least the screen that I'm looking at, UAE in first and Bahrain in second, right? I think it's ultimately going to end that way.
Yeah, I would agree. Yemen, I think, is, they've had positive results, or at least a positive result. They did have to play and get out of the first round initially, so they're also dealing with that. But yeah, I like Bahrain. I think there's not a whole lot to add here, other than for me, it's UAE and Bahrain pretty clearly. I think after this window, you're going to see a lot more separation.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the final group is Group I. Australia is on 6 points, Lebanon on 2, Palestine on 1, Bangladesh on 1. Australia is clearly going to qualify for the next round out of this group, in my opinion. But there's some interesting going-ons here that I wanted to mention, which is not necessarily the case with other groups. Both Lebanon and Palestine are not playing matches in a home country. They are playing in neutral venues. The Palestine home match is going to be played in Kuwait when they play Bangladesh. But very curiously, which I just don't get, the Lebanon home match against Australia is being played in Australia. I don't get that. First, they're playing in Sydney. That is technically the quote-unquote Australia home match. And then they're playing in Canberra, which is in Australia. And it's, you know, they're going from Sydney to Canberra, close by. But, I mean, you're trying to qualify for the World Cup, and I understand that Australia is far to travel to. I get it. But to play your home match in the country of the road team, it's just surprising. I don't know why you would want to give them that advantage to play in their home country and basically play two road matches. They could have gone anywhere nearby, you know, maybe played in New Zealand, maybe played, somewhere else in Southeast Asia, but they're playing in Australia, both matches. And I don't think that bodes well for Lebanon. I am concerned that they're just putting themselves at such a disadvantage. They're going to play in Australia twice. Then they play Palestine in a neutral location somewhere. And then they're going to play Bangladesh in a neutral location somewhere. So I'm concerned for Lebanon, despite them sitting on 2 points and where they're at now. And I did not like what I saw from them at the Asian Cup either.
Yeah, I didn't either. I think ultimately this is a pretty weak group.
Yeah.
I don't think whoever the second team is that comes out of this group is going to make it any further. That's interesting. I was not aware that they're playing both games in Australia, and yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I just wonder if maybe the Lebanon FA didn't have a choice. Like, I wonder if it was something that the AFC said that they had to do. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the travel, they're playing in Sydney. I mean, the travel from Sydney to Lebanon.
Oh, yeah.
If they're playing, it's just immense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you're bringing in players from all over the world, and to have them travel all the way to Australia and then travel back halfway around the world, it is daunting.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I'm interested to see what happens in the Palestine Bangladesh home and away. I think based on what I saw at the Asian Cup, I'd probably favor Palestine a little bit to be the second team out of this group. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel super strongly about any of these teams. And I agree with you. I think you look at the 18 teams that are going to advance. I would say that whoever is second out of this group is probably going to be among the bottom three or five of the teams that advance the next round, it feels like.
I do have a squad update for Bangladesh.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw any of this, but
I have not seen the Bangladesh squad.
Not the Bangladesh squad, but there were strong reports that Hamza Chowdhury. Are you familiar with that name? He plays for Leicester.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He has decided that he's going to represent Bangladesh.
That's awesome.
And he was not in the squad for this month, but there's strong rumors that he's going to be there in June. And if that is in fact true, that is awesome.
Yes, it is. they should get him into the squad immediately.
Yes, absolutely.
Like he's the type of player that in these two matches against Palestine could actually make a big difference.
Absolutely. Yep. So that is definitely something to keep an eye on. It does sound like this is happening. I'm trying to think, there's so much that has happened in like the last 6 days. I'm trying to think back in my brain because I'm pretty sure that it was like officially confirmed that is.
Yeah. Happening. I mean, they were in strong talks to do that, it looks like. But yeah, that's, it's amazing. It's like the Bangladesh squad, it's like an entirely local team. Like everybody's playing in the Bangladesh league.
Yeah.
Every single player. So that would be remarkable.
Yep. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to that. In terms of this group, just to kind of wrap it up, I guess obviously Australia is going to go through.
Yeah.
Who do you have in that second spot? Then are you going with Palestine?
Probably. I think just based on what I saw at the Asian Cup, I think they're good enough to finish second in this group.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that. Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for an epic March preview. around the globe, every corner of the earth their matches being played and teams trying to qualify. And it's going to be an exciting March window. I truly cannot remember an individual window where there are so many different things happening at once between Euro qualifying, Nations League, CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers, Copa America qualifiers, CAF, AFCON preliminaries, Nations Cup, Asian World Cup qualifying. I mean, any, the FIFA series, anything you could ask for this window, it is there.
Yep.
Hopefully,
plus hundreds of friendlies.
Plus all the friendlies. So hopefully there is enough out there to appease your international football desires. Certainly for, I think, the two of us, it's going to be one of the best windows we've seen in quite some time. So very much looking forward to it. Anything to add, any final points on the March window before we let these people go?
No, just really looking forward to it, and I hope you all enjoy it.
Yes, and I echo that. And if you've stayed with us and listened throughout the whole time, we very much appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun talking about the window, and hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Please make sure to give us a follow on all socials. Again, the podcast account is at Window INTL Pod. You can find Joe at 12th Yank. You can find me, Brandon, at @we_global, We Global Football. And yeah, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to us, and hope to see you around on X, Twitter. And I'm sure we'll have numbers and squads and all the like out there. So thank you all for joining us for another episode of The Window, and we'll talk soon.